As recently as 4 days ago, a Christian came into my office with this amazing story.
He had married at 16. Starting with no knowledge of financial affairs, he had found that experience in personal money management had not taught him much. Recently divorced, but now remarried, his monthly payments on house, cars, furniture, and signature now totals $586 a month. His net income each month, $594. Now, this is an extreme illustration, but in a recent period of only 2 months, from just this church and my acquaintances, six different families were referred to me for financial counseling. Among them were two ministers, a professional man, and a top corporation executive. All were Christians seeking a closer walk with the Lord. And yet, one man's job was threatened because of his financial mess. And another of these men had recently been in a hospital with an emotional breakdown caused by the financial pressures bearing down upon him. These six men had incomes ranging from under $10,000 a year to over $36,000. But they all had two things in common: debt. And they had come to realize the reality of a little jingle that's one of my favorites. It goes like this: "That money talks, I'll not deny. I heard it once, it said goodbye." My purpose today is to help you glorify God in spending the money He entrusts to you. The three topics that we will cover are the value of a budget, the plan of a budget, and the technique of a budget. When we finish this section, my prayer for you is that you will want, that you will see God's purpose in your having a budget. Two, that you will know how to develop together a budget plan for your family spending. And three, that you will be committed to use this budget book for your own record keeping. I'd like now to ask those of you that are here with your spouse just to take a hold of your spouse's hand while we have a word of prayer. And the rest of you can just kind of reach out and take a hold of the Lord's hand if you're going to do this alone. Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to look into your word and to study and discover together the principles that you have for our stewardship of the money you allow us to have. Lord, we want to glorify you in every area of our lives. I thank you for these here who are seeking to follow your will in their spending. And Lord, we just pray that you will knit each couple together. You will help them be committed to discover your principles out of these words today and to apply them to their lives, that our use of your money might glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. What is budgeting? Well, I don't think I'll start there. Let me tell you this. Why all this emphasis on money for the Christian? Since the Bible speaks about money so often, we Christians must listen. The history of Israel established God's principles of obedience equal blessing, disobedience equal cursing. To be in harmony with God and receive the blessings He has for us and to be used for His good purposes, we Christians must know and be in harmony and live in harmony with God's money principles. That knowledge and obedience of God's money principles is frequently lacking is proven by the place money holds as a reason for marital breakup. William Sadler, believe it or not, in his book Satisfying Sex Life, states that 90% of marital problems stem from seven reasons, of which the first is money. Ask any minister how often money problems are present in marital counseling. My own experience indicates money problems and tensions exist in most Christian marriages. And this area is a frequent basis for disharmony within the couple's life. Many couples would rather be mired in debt than face the trauma of working through to agreement on a family budget and then keeping records to check their progress. God's way is the narrow gate that is hard, but His way leads to life. The world's way in money is the easy payment way. So easy and so wide, but it leads to destruction. The fruit of the easy way is bills, payment, interest, pressure, and financial bondage. As one minister wrote who was trying to climb up the long trail out of debt, "We're getting our bills slowly whittled down, but it sure is slower getting them paid than it was making them." And a lot of you today will be able to shout amen to that. Money is often Satan's trap, just as alcohol, adultery, or the tongue. But God has a way out of the trap. Victory over Satan is always sweet. Standing on the promises as God reveals them for our money can be as exciting a walk for the Christian as the conversion of a repentant sinner or the healing of a sick marriage. For years, all my counseling in money matters ended in frustration and failure. Then I discovered God's powerful word. And now for those who will prayerfully and painfully apply the principles to their financial mess, the victories can be sweet. And I think some of you here today can testify that as you prayerfully and painfully stood on the principles of God's Word, not only spiritually, but financially, that the victories can be sweet. There are two verses that I'd like to share with you that have been the basis for my own preparation and for my own life in the financial area. The first is Hebrews 12:11. This is God's fantastic discipline verse. It reads, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." That's Hebrews 12:11, God's discipline verse. The next one is Proverbs 13:19, the A part of it. And this is from the King James Version. And it says, "Desire accomplished is sweet to the soul." So my prayer for you is that you will learn and apply these principles to your life so you'll experience these peaceful fruits and the sweetness to the soul that can come from standing on the promises of God. Okay, what is budgeting? Well, budgeting is planned spending. Doesn't that sound easy? And budgeting is easy when you understand its purpose, follow a workable system, and then use it to multiply the family income. Now, when each of our two daughters started the kindergarten, she began her first budget. The mechanical system consisted of these three calling card boxes, stapled together. Each box was labeled by category: save, church, spend. Each one was marked with the amount of the weekly budget: 5 cents save, 5 cents church, 5 cents spend. And each week, I parceled out the allowance. One for each box. The budget was evident. The plan was simple. Visual control was established. Even a six-year-old began to understand planned spending. The system was adequate through high school. The amounts changed as the girls grew, and as their needs grew and as inflation roared. But the boxes continued to be used as a control system. Intriguingly, neither girl was very often out of money. When they were, they knew it. No money, no money to spend. Here's a real lesson for those who continually plunge into debt by spending more than they have. A budget is the best way I know to avoid the pitfall of too much money left over at the end of your money. There's more to budgeting than simply planning your spending. Making your spending plan work involves checkups to compare your actual spending with your planned spending. So whether you use calling card boxes to maintain visual control, or you use a budget book to record spending in comparison to your plan, you need a record-keeping system. And the verse that we'll hang our hat on and the principle that's established in the Bible is Proverbs 24:3-4 from the Living Bible. This verse says, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Any enterprise. That marriage is an enterprise may be a surprise to some of you. But in 1970, the latest figures I could obtain from the statistical abstract, the median white family income in America was $10,216, allowing for the historical 2% inflation rate this country has experienced since World War II, the median family income will grow to an annual income of $24,419 by retirement age. This means that during the approximately 45 years from marriage at roughly age 20 to retirement at age 65, the median American family will handle or run an enterprise or be run by that enterprise with a growth of over $734,000. So marriage is an enterprise, even if you're only at the median family income. So the verse says, any enterprise is built by wise planning. Salesmen are counseled to plan their work and work their plan. This is good counsel for those seeking to follow God's principles of record keeping. Proverbs 22:3 in the Living Bible. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. How is your financial planning? And the way to discover the answer to that question is to look at the first form, which is where we are now. And this would be the taking of your inventory and your family finances to find out where you are. You start out by asking the question, what we have. You would then check up to find money in the bank, the cash value of life insurance, savings accounts, such as savings in credit unions or savings and loans, stocks and bonds, the present market value of your stocks and bonds, real estate, and you could just use the figure at which you think your home would sell readily on today's market, any other real estate you might have, such as a cabin, investments, such as any other investments you might have, personal possessions, and usually you could take a figure of some $500 for each room in your house, and or you can tell whether you have, on the average, much less in your furniture or much more. Automobiles, you can find from the car dealer or from the newspaper the average retail price of your car or cars. Other property, such as boats, trailers, cabins, and so forth. Or special property, such as cameras, guns, hobbies, camping equipment, motorcycles, silverware, stereo, musical instruments, and so on. And then any interest you may have in a company retirement or pension plan. So then you can add up and find out your cash and other savings, your total real estate, and your total other property. And this gives you a grand total of what you have. Most of us don't really have all of what we have, though. Because the fellow that's loaned us the money to have what we have are the people we owe. And so we would look then to see what we owe to the mortgagor of our home, to others such as the bank, loan company, credit union, or an insurance company if we bought on our life insurance. We may owe money to credit card companies, to other businesses, which would include hospitals or physicians and dentists, professional people, and we may have other loans, such as family loans or school loans. So then we just have a recap. We take what we have now and total it, subtract what we owe now, and we come out with what we're really worth. And this then divided by the number of years that you've been in your present marriage will show you how much you have accumulated per year during your marriage. Now, you may have accumulated a net deficit. It is not. It appears to me that most people either just like getting places on time. You can either be early, on time, or late. And as we look at people's net worth statements, we find that some people have saved and planned And by the end of 15 years of marriage, why, they save $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a year, and they have a net worth of some considerable, $75,000 to $150,000. Other people are just about even. They've spent just about everything, but the usual is not to be even. You're either ahead of the game or you're either in the hole. And it has not been unusual to find net worth statements that show an accumulation of $1,000 to $2,000 of debt during a 10-year marriage with a negative net worth of about $20,000 to $30,000. Common sense. The verse goes, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense. The Bible in Amos 3:3 in the King James says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Agreement in the spending plan for the family is essential for the husband and wife. Seldom do I see a family with financial problems where there's not real tension within the marriage. Common sense dictates common goals, which demand common effort, but which produce uncommon results. God's multiplication system for working together equals abundant results. And that's found in Ecclesiastes 4:9 in the Living Bible. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, so the results can be much better. Isn't that fantastic? You know that God's multiplication system says that two people working together can accomplish more than twice as much as one. Romans 12:19a in the Living Bible is the first requisite for the family plan, spending plan. And that is work happily together. Work happily together. Then the verse goes on to say any enterprise can profit wonderfully. Well, let's see, I've forgotten it. Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Gene Ward, an Oklahoma City businessman, says that you keep a budget so you won't take yourself out. How can you plug leaks in a budget if you don't know where the leaks are? Would you be satisfied if you were in a hospital with heart trouble and nobody bothered to stop by your room and take an electrocardiogram or check your blood pressure or feel your pulse? Of course not. And you can't expect to make any headway in the family budget without keeping records. My experience, again, is that I've seldom seen people who were successful stewards with their money that did not keep good records. And I rarely see a couple in financial trouble who are operating on a spending plan with adequate records. Let me give you an illustration of this. Several months ago, my company contracted for 10 hours of United States talk time outside of Kansas. That's known as a watch line. And we agreed to pay the phone company so much a month for the first 10 hours, whether we used 1 minute of it or 10 hours. And then we had to pay them an additional amount for every minute over the 10 hours. So we adopted a reasonable plan. We told everybody that used this national watch line, do the best you can. And here were the results. The first, and our budget was 10 hours. We wanted to use just as close to 10 hours as we could and get the maximum out of it. The first month, we used 13 hours. Then we told them, you know, do the best you can. The second month, we used 16 hours. The third month, we used 19 hours. Now that got old George's attention. And we then went on a budget. Each employee had an allotted number of minutes that he could use during the month. He was to keep track of his daily cumulated usage for the month to date. A chart was devised to show our total daily usage with everyone advised as to where we were compared to where we wanted to be. Keeping abreast of these facts and using discipline to stay within individual quotas, our usage dropped back to 10 hours. And it has never exceeded 11 hours since the time we went on a personal individual budget. And I looked at it the other day. We have one more day to go. That's tomorrow. And we're at 9 hours and some minutes. And we'll use the rest of it up tomorrow. One day, one of my teenage daughters came to me and she said, Dad, why are we so poor? I can't ever seem to buy the clothes I want, and neither can Mom. My response was a too lengthy lecture on how we choose to spend our income. Finally, I explained that we operate on a clothing budget, and that there simply was not enough money in this budget to buy all the clothes that every member of our family wanted all the time. She pressed further by asking, "How come I can't have my budget?" Margene and I talked about that and decided to open checking accounts for each of the teenage girls. Monthly, we would deposit the budgeted amount in their account. They were to pay for all their own clothes as they bought them. Checks were not to be written for this account, from this account, for any other purpose. Prior to the personal budgeting, I can tell you, and a couple others here can tell you, we had horrendous arguments whenever we said no to buying clothes. But with the responsibility shifted to each daughter individually and with a predetermined plan, the argument stopped. After a few tough lessons learned from purchasing too expensive items and running out of money for real needs, both girls became excellent shoppers. What better way to train up a child in the way that she should go financially than to provide an opportunity for individual responsibility in financial decisions on teenage clothes? The goal of such training for children is to increase steadily the financial responsibility they have. By learning individual responsibility for money, the young person is being well prepared, at least in this area, to leave his mother and father. But before we as parents can teach God's principles for money to our children, we must have attended the classes ourselves. Whether you're struggling with debt or have some financial success, you can profit, and God can reap from your keeping a budget. So pray for God's leading in your life as you consider the next two phases, the plan of a budget and the technique of a budget. The plan. Now you're ready to build a spending plan for your family. Estimating expenditures for a year at a time is the place to start. Here's a three-step process to help you. Review our financial goals. The ultimate purpose of estimating your expenditures is to arrive at a figure for each spending category for annual and monthly expense targets. The categories are, number one, federal income tax. 2, state income tax. 3, Social Security tax. 4, other taxes, such as a city earnings tax. 5, shelter. 6, food. 7, clothing. 8, health. 9, tithes and offerings. 10, education. 11, life insurance. 12, gifts. 13, transportation. 14, personal allowances. 15, vacations. 16, savings. 17, household purchases. 18, debt reduction. Are there other categories you need in your budget? Are there some of these that you would not need? You can make any change here in this form that is necessary so that the form meets your own requirements. Now, as you look at this form, I'm going to attempt to tell you what would be used in each category. As I say, the goal is to have a monthly figure so that you can control your spending month by month. And you just simply have to start with category one and work through each one of them in order. Remember that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And this morning, I ran into at least four couples here at 8:30 who had gone home last night and worked this out. And so that's the time to get started. Federal income tax. Your current withholding tax amount would be the first figure to obtain. If you're paid monthly, simply enter the amount withheld monthly as the monthly tax estimate. If you're paid most any other way on a regular paycheck basis, take the tax withheld and multiply it by the number of pay periods to get the annual amount withheld. Then you can divide the annual amount by 12 months to get the monthly amount. If your income fluctuates because of commissions or being in your own business, estimate your annual tax for the current year based on your previous year's tax. Put this figure in the annual column. If you've been owing tax in addition to your withholding on April the 15th, be sure to include an estimate of such tax in with your current annual estimate. Don't forget to include any tax deductions from other paychecks, such as your spouse's check. The state income tax you would do in a similar manner. Social Security tax. Watch this one carefully. It can be very tricky. During 1973, the tax rate has been 5.85%, with the first $10,800 of wages being subjected to the tax. The annual maximum tax in 1973 totaled $630.80, and that's how much you pay if your total family income from earnings is $10,800. However, it is deducted as wages are earned. So the average maximum monthly tax is $52.65, which is 5.85% of a $900 a month income. For a person whose wages are $1,800 a month, the tax deduction would total $105.30 for the first 6 months, with no deductions during the last 6 months. Congress has just raised the base the base was automatically scheduled to increase to $12,600 for 1974, and at the present time, Congress has a bill which, if passed, will increase it to $13,200. So if the base goes through as scheduled, $12,600, your Social Security tax in 1974 will be $737.10. If the spouse is working, taxes will also be deducted from her check. Number four, other taxes, such as city taxes. This is meant to include only other taxes on which your earnings are taxed. This would not include personal property taxes, real estate, or sales taxes. Your paycheck or last year's income tax should reveal the amounts, if any, and we don't have a city earnings tax in Wichita, so that's no problem. Shelter. Shelter includes rent, utilities such as heat, light, telephone. It includes household supplies, appliance repairs, newspaper and magazine subscriptions, and other expenses related to the home. For home buyers, include your house payment, interest, insurance, real estate taxes, and repairs and maintenance. Food usually includes all items bought at the grocery store, including such household supply items as paper goods, cleaning and washing supplies, and pet food. All meals out are usually included, such as school lunches, lunches away from home, and carry-out items. Entertaining others by taking them out to eat may also be included here. Clothing. Clothing includes clothes purchases, clothing and shoe repairs, and dry cleaning. And as I've already mentioned, this budget may be divided among family members so that each member is responsible for spending within certain limits. Health includes health insurance premiums you pay, medical, dental, and hospital expenses, medicine, drug items, and usually cosmetics. Tithes and offerings includes all charitable giving such as church pledges, offerings, United Fund, and other donations. Education. School expenses, books, lessons, you know, swimming lessons, ski lessons, voice lessons, music lessons, all the kinds of lessons, college tuition, and required uniforms and or equipment. This is a tricky one because so many times the kids are taking lessons and they need special equipment. Life insurance includes the premiums you pay for life insurance. Be sure to include all policies, whether paid annually or on some other basis. Gifts. Amounts spent for family birthdays, anniversaries, special occasions. Also would include Christmas, weddings, and celebrations of others. Flowers for funerals could be included, as well as those pesky little office collections for courtesies and gifts. Also usually includes dues for organizations. Transportation includes gas, oil, repairs, licenses, personal property tax, and insurance. If making a car payment, include the amount of your payment based on the annual amount you will pay. And you may want to set aside an amount from this category to provide for purchasing a new car in the future. Personal allowances usually includes an amount for each member of the family to spend personally. Hair care, recreation, babysitting, hobbies, and children's allowances are some items generally under this category. Vacation, trips, camps, and weekend outings would be included. Any trips for funerals or weddings or other reasons are usually taken out of this category. Savings, amounts set aside for future needs such as emergencies, college funds, or retirement. Household purchases. This fund is for the purchase of furniture, major appliances, and home repair items and maintenance. This would be major home repair. Major home repair items would include carpeting, a washer, a water heater, or roofing, or painting the house. Debt reduction. Include all payments on loans or accounts that are not included in other categories. School loans, amounts due relatives, bank loans to previous needs, or other financial obligations would be included. Categories 19 to 21 are just special categories for your own family needs or desires. You may have some family hobby, such as racing, boating, flying, or a cabin away from home that you want to include as a special item. Or you may want to budget and have individual records for each youngster in college. After filling in, all the monthly and annual estimates add up to total. Wow. The totals are greater than your income, right? Right. They almost always are. And if so, you're not unusual. Every budget that I've seen starts with one in excess of income. And one of the couples reported to me this morning, sure enough, it added up to more than we make. The fun and prayer start now. What are your real needs? What are your wants? Here are some hints and guidelines to help you. Shelter. Not over 30% of your gross income should go for shelter. If your gross income is $1,000 a month, all expenses for shelter should not exceed $300. You should not pay more than 2.5 times your annual income for a house. Now that's the maximum. If your gross income is $12,000 per year, the most costly house you should consider is $30,000. Clothing should never exceed 10% of your income. If you have debt, you might be interested to learn how much short-term debt the experts consider is too much. The limit should not exceed 10% of your monthly take-home pay times 18. Thus, with a net monthly income of $750, your debt limit would be $75 times 18, or $1,350. This figure would not include a mortgage on your home. The experts all say you're headed for trouble if your short-term monthly debt payments exceed 20% of your net take-home pay. With a take-home pay of $750, if your monthly payments for debt, excluding a home mortgage, exceed $150, you're probably in real financial trouble. God's guidance is essential as you begin together the painful surgical process of cutting back your spending plans to match your income. God's Word, though, provides real assurance that He is interested and that He will reveal to you in answer to your prayers the ways to reduce your spending. Claim in prayer these promises as you begin. Proverbs 2:9 from the Living Bible. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time. Psalm 25:4-5, Living Bible. Show me the path where I should go. Point out the right road for me to walk. Lead me, teach me, for you are the God who gives me salvation. I have no hope except in you. Psalm 32:8 from the King James. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. As you get into the surgical process, remind each other, you know, have we prayed about this? You need God's wisdom. Then examine each spending category and ask these questions. Which expenses are essential? Which can we do without? Which can we reduce? During the energy crisis, we've all learned that we could reduce heat, light, driving, and recreation without serious effects on the quality of our living. Since most of us eat too much for our own good, a reduction in food consumption can actually lead to improved health. Steak cooked by the husband on the barbecue at home now and then with candlelight can be just as enjoyable as a meal out and far more economical, and a beautiful way to entertain your friends. Just like soak and hamburgers. Family togetherness can be enhanced by spending an evening making gifts in assembly line fashion for Christmas and other occasions. Just before Christmas, I was downtown, and one of the college kids from the church was back home, and I said, "Well, are you finishing up your Christmas shopping?" "No," said, "I'm just down with her." She said, "I didn't have any money on a college student's budget to buy Christmas presents." And she said, "I discovered that I could make 10 presents for what it cost me to buy one." Most purchases of new items can be evaluated seriously, and honestly, most purchases can be avoided. A good rule to follow on new purchases is to consider what you have in the light of this very short little jingle that you'll probably want to jot down. It's a good guideline for new purchases. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, do without. So before you go off to the clothing sale tomorrow, you might, you know, think, use it up, wear it out, make it do, do without, and get the old shoes refilled. You may want to consider getting rid of some items because of the burden they place on your budget. Moving to a less expensive house or to an apartment, selling a big new car or a second car, selling a boat, a camper, or items purchased on the installment plan would be examples of such changes. Bill Gothard in the Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts includes this financial workshop sheet to evaluate items you own but have not yet paid for. And this sheet can be used equally well for evaluating items you are considering for purchase. For instance, under the evaluation, you can put a mark in each one of these on the yes side. And this would be, yes, I ought to sell the item. It does not increase my effectiveness in serving God. It is not absolutely essential. It does not directly contribute to family unity and harmony. It could be replaced by a less expensive item. It does not provide more time with the family. Its value is not increasing, and it requires upkeep expense. If you're in debt for an item, and you answer yes to most of those questions, then you should sell the item and get out of debt. On the other hand, here are reasons that you should probably not sell the item. It does increase my effectiveness in serving God. It is absolutely essential. It does directly contribute to family unity and harmony. It could not be replaced by a less expensive item. It provides more time for the family. Its value is increasing more than interest and inflation costs, and it does not require upkeep expense. I can't think of anything that you could be making payments on that would meet those things. Some major changes may be necessary in your family pattern. One friend of mine had 4 weeks accumulated vacation. He also had accumulated substantial debt during his marriage by overspending. Part of the overspending was caused by his and his family's concept that a vacation meant trips out of town with the resultant cost of driving, eating out, motels, recreation, and purchases of curios. That family needed to plan creative vacations where additional family income could be earned, home maintenance could be accomplished, and creative money-saving projects completed. Visualize the difference in long-term family welfare between these two contrasting types of vacations. Christmas and special occasions are often the cause of blowing the family budget. Here, just a few days after Christmas, maybe some of you realize that. Just think, in a family of four, with one gift for each occasion, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, and Easter, can easily add up to 18 to 24 gifts. Then when you add the relatives and friends, you could be involved in up to 50 and 100 presents a year. The use of family talents and creative projects can make substantial financial savings while giving to others creative one-of-a-time expressions of your love. The surgical process of a budget is painful, but so is the Christian walk. Jesus instructed us very clearly about the way we choose in every area of our lives. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who find it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who enter by it are few. The easy financial path is easy. No money down and one easy payment. Buy what you want when you want it. Don't bother with budgets and record keeping. It's been said that most of us Americans are buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress neighbors we don't even like. Easy payments now make most people uneasy later on. This is the road to destruction. God's financial way is hard. Self-denial, discipline, sacrifice are the marks of a Christian and his money. God's stewardship calls for wise and knowledgeable use of our money. This means a plan and records to help us stay within the plan. God's abundance is not found in overspending. Many of you could testify to that. And it's not found in overspending what he provides for us, but in his blessings of us as we are faithful in a very little and faithful also in much. So if your plan exceeds your income, keep praying and cutting until your expenses are within your income. Now you're ready for the establishment of a simple budget to ensure that your plan is successful. Robert Frost, the poet, once said, "Never ask of money spent where the spender thinks it went. Nobody was ever meant to remember or invent what he did with every cent. So relax. You too won't have to keep track of every cent. The system you're going to see keeps track of money spent in spending categories, but not individually within each category. A simple booklet with lined pages such as you have is all that is needed. Most bookstores carry account books approximately 9 inches by 5 inches inside. This one is put out by the S.E.M. Vernon Company. It prints a series called Vernon Royal Account Book that contains 88 pages. The cost has been under $1 for many years. In addition to the sample pages in this book, which we will give you as an illustration, why, there'll be plenty of pages here for all of your financial affairs, budget and otherwise, during 1974. Since the procedure for recording expenditures in each category is similar, a thorough explanation of one category will suffice for you to learn how to budget. Now, there are two ways to spend money. Some of you may dispute that figure and think there are a lot more ways to spend money than two. But basically, you spend money with cash or checks. You will account in this system for each check and for total amounts of cash in each category. Each spending category has two pages. Refer to the budget illustration following each numbered item as it is explained. The left page shows your plan and accumulates each month the total spending goal for that category. Today we'll use the shelter account for the explanation, since everybody here probably lives someplace where they have to pay for their shelter. Number one, enter the date of the first of the month in which you start your budget. Show the source of your entry on that left page, which deposit just means your plan is to spend that much money. Enter the amount you plan to spend in shelter and show the amount of your planned spending in shelter for the year to date. In our first entry, the plan is to allow $360 monthly for shelter. The date of 1/1/74 is entered in date. The source of the entry is deposit, and the amount allowed this month is $360, with $360 being the amount for the year to date. Now, the right page shows your plan and records your spending. Thus, you can see how your spending compares with your plan at any given date. And this is reality. On the right page, we duplicate entry 1. This entry establishes your intention to spend $360 for shelter during January of 1974. Now, you could maintain this budget by having a separate bank checking account for each spending category, but this would be expensive and impractical. Visualize as you post this shelter account that you're accomplishing the same thing as if you had separate bank accounts. The recordings are expenditures from the account, and the declining balance after each purchase is similar to the declining balance in your checkbook as you write checks. Cash control is accomplished by setting aside some cash each month to cover the small cash purchases. These would be items not normally paid for by check. In shelter, such items would include but not be limited to home repair items such as bowls, glass, or putty, garden items such as seed or bug spray, household maintenance items such as light bulbs or paint that you'd buy at the hardware store on the way home. An ordinary stationary envelope is what can be used to hold the cash. On the front of the envelope, write each spending category, such as shelter. A check for cash in the amount of your cash estimate would be written. Assume that $15 would be your plan to spend in cash in the shelter. The $15 is placed in the shelter envelope. As cash is sent by family members for shelter account items, they come to the shelter envelope to get reimbursed for the expenditure. No individual expenditures are recorded for this cash since we're not interested in where each dollar and each cent goes, but it's sufficient to know that $15 was allotted for cash items in this category. Now, if you actually would spend only $10 cash from the shelter envelope during the next month you would probably allocate only $10 cash to this envelope, bringing it back up to your original $15 cash position. Now, the key to having cash with you to make these small purchases is in carrying a set amount of cash with you at all times. Margene and I have carried $20 with us each since we were first married as a sort of working capital. I start out with a $20 bill. As I spend small amounts of it, I write down on a set page in my pocket notebook indicating the date, the amount, and the purpose. Periodically, from the envelopes at home, I get these amounts back so that my $20 is intact again. By always starting with a set amount, I know how much I'm short in case I neglected to write down some amount spent. For instance, on the way home from work, if I stopped at the hardware store and bought some nails that cost $2.48, I'd just make a note showing today's date, nails, $2.48. Upon returning home, I would get the $2.48 out of the shelter envelope and once again have my $20 intact. No record is kept of the money removed from each envelope. But our guide in this has been Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. He who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. Because you can cheat yourself to death with these cash envelopes. Now, you're ready now for the cash envelope deposit of $15. Since you've written a check for the $15 and probably cash sufficient for all the other envelopes with the same check, you post to the shelter account the amounts you put in the shelter envelope. And it's a good idea to get $1 bills at the bank for the envelope in order to have change available when you get money back for your $20 working capital. Envelope indicates that this $15 was placed in the shelter envelope. The $15 is subtracted from the $360 to show the amount of $345 still available this month to spend in the shelter account. From your check stub for item number 4, you record the date and amount of the mortgage payment on your home. You subtract the amount of this payment, $210.40, from the balance in this account showing an amount of $134.60 still available for shelter. Entries 5 to 10 are additional postings made from your check stubs in the same manner as number 4 to include soft water, electricity, water, TV repair, a newspaper subscription, and a telephone bill. Number 11, this entry begins the new month where you start the process all over again. Note that you ended the month with $20 of your plan not spent. Rejoice. You'll probably need it later. A very careful examination of January in this illustration would reveal that no payment was made to the gas company for fuel. Their computer may have stalled and you may have failed to receive a bill. But don't worry, you won't get it free. Next month, you'll just get a double bill. Most of your accounts will have certain amounts that will be paid in large chunks during a single month. The gift category is an example where you should build a surplus all year until you begin to purchase Christmas gifts. Shelter may have an annual insurance premium, so you'll need to build up a surplus in order to meet that premium. Certain accounts may show that they're overspent for a few months. If an annual life insurance premium comes due in March in the amount of $360, you may have only allocated $90 in your budget by the time you pay the premium. Thus, the balance in life insurance would be overdrawn at the end of March by $270. But as long as you're not overspending, a negative balance need not disturb you, as in the case of the life insurance example. But a negative balance in the following category should be of concern: food, clothing, gifts, transportation, allowances, vacations, or household purchases should be a loud danger signal. A negative balance should only be tolerated if it can be explained on the basis of an annual planned expenditure. Any other reason should be grounds for emergency cutting in that category until you again build up a surplus. The food account bears some special explanation, at least in our family, because we've handled it in a slightly different way. Marjean carries a separate coin purse with her. When she buys groceries at the store and cashes a check for more than the amount of the purchase, she places the unspent change in that coin purse. She uses that change for her next grocery purchases, children's lunches, and eating out until it's gone. Then she cashes another check and follows the same procedure. The basic difference is that she carries the food money with her wherever she goes. And only in rare instances would she take the envelopes out of the house, but if she were going out to buy a bunch of gifts, she'd probably take the gift envelope with her for the small purchases and write checks for the larger ones. A potential sore spot in food is the husband's lunches. We have allocated out of our food budget an amount for my lunches. This amount is placed in an envelope so that I, too, am forced to economize on my lunches. Most men are overweight and fight the battle of the bulge. It's a real act of love for the husband to eat light at noon so he can be free to enjoy his wife's banquet at night. A budget will force real communication. Complete honesty is required. The two most frequent sources of trouble that I've found are the hairdresser for the wife and the man's recreation, whether it's golf, hunting, or photography. Seldom am I involved in financial counseling with couples in money trouble, but that the wife makes a regular, weekly trip to the hairdresser for the work. The furniture may be threadbare, but still she goes. Emotions can really get charged on this one. Or the husband may be a tightwad in home management, clothes for the kids, and gifts, but he never hesitates to go off with the guys on expensive fishing trips and purchase some new outfit and gadget for the trip. My recommendation for a solution is in the category of personal allowance. As you develop your spending plan, keep these personal items in mind. We decided early in our marriage that our personal allowance was to spend as we each pleased. We were not to be accountable to each other for it. If Marjean wanted to go to the beauty shop, she could do so as long as the allowance held out. I could play golf as often as I liked as long as I had the allowance to pay for it. Believe it or not, but we each paid for our own entertainment, a practice we still follow. It's kind of neat to go to some place, you know, and you get back home and I say, Marjean, that ticket was $2.50. She gives it back to me because that came out of my allowance. Golf was never any problem for me, as I found that more intensive exercise such as jogging and swimming was a healthier investment of my time and money than golf. She found she enjoyed spending her allowance in ways other than with the hairdresser and chose to do her own hair except for cutting and shaping every 6 or so weeks. After over 19 years of marriage, she still follows this process. Warning: be prepared for tears. We still remember, especially at this time of year, one New Year's Eve when we stayed home. Old George chose that night as the time to add up the final year's budget account and find out, you know, how we finished the year. With little tact, along towards midnight, I pointed out to Margene how much she had overspent in food. Poor soul, the evening was ruined. In 20 years of budgeting, we've had our frustrations and fears, but our budget has saved us thousands of dollars. And we have that savings now at the time when our daughters are ready to go to college. But more importantly, we've communicated together in an area that is the leading cause of divorce. And as we learn to work together in the management of our money, we've built a success base for our marriage. Harmony in our money has encouraged us to work for harmony in all other areas. I have a Blondie cartoon. I don't read the comics, but some of my friends bring me all the ones that have to do with money. And there must be a lot of them because they bring a lot. This one, Blondie's over there, is a good, dutiful wife balancing the bank statement. She says, "Dagwood, my bank statement doesn't agree with my figures." Dagwood, of course, who's always very helpful sitting in the paper reading the newspaper, says, "Well, the bank must be right. They use computers." Blondie, of course, is roaring by and says, "Boo, boo, boo, you take the computer side against your own wife." Dagwood stands up, you know, and says, "Well, at least the computer doesn't break down and cross." Failure of a couple to communicate about their money, to work out together a mutually acceptable plan, and to sweat out the trials and trauma of keeping the plan will often lead to a breakdown in the marriage. Just as you can improve your spiritual life by regular checkup and regular prayer and a quiet time in the Word, and just as you can improve your health by exercise and diet, you can improve your marriage and your stewardship of God's money by having a budget. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you today for these principles, and we thank you that you have shown us that it makes good sense to run this enterprise of marriage and family spending by having a plan and then a way of checking up on that plan. Lord, I pray that you would motivate each person and each couple here today to go home and honestly face where they are in their family finances and develop a plan for good stewardship of this money. And I pray, Lord, that we might do this so that another area of our life might bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. First question is, will the Social Security rate still be 5.85% in 1974? And the answer to that is yes. Only the base will change. If a considerable unexpected raise or other cash windfall occurs during the year, does this necessitate a complete revamp of the budget? And the answer to that is it should not necessitate any revamp of the budget. Because if you have figured out a way to live, then my attitude has always been to live on a certain amount of money, and anything else that came in from the profit of the business or otherwise just went off into a separate account. And that is not living. That's the investment for the future. The only thing that comes out of that is the tithe, which comes out as the money comes in. I had a friend once tell me, I was talking with him about inflation, and I was telling him I didn't think life insurance was a very good hedge against inflation. He said, "You know what the best hedge against inflation you have is?" I said, "No." He said, "It's your earning power. Because as you get more skilled in what you're doing, you get paid more. And as inflation goes on, you get raises in your salary." But he said, "The problem is most people, every time they get a raise, spend more of it than the raise they get. They get a big raise, so they join the country club, which actually costs them more than the amount of the raise they got. And so each raise puts them further and further in the hole." Should you tithe growth or net? You know, God says, "Given it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." So whether you tithe the net or the growth is completely dependent upon you want, whether you want God's blessing on the net or the growth. Are playing the stocks scriptural? Well, I'll give you a little personal testimony on that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, steady plodding brings success. Hasty speculation brings poverty. I believe that playing the stock market is speculation. I believe that investing in the stock market on a regular, periodic basis is steady plodding. And there's a difference between playing and investing regularly.